Rosen, second year. Chapter three. Every time that I think that I was going to study something else this morning, this one came back to me. I don't know, I'm not too sure why we're studying this, but I'll just trust the process. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts or their own desires, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Remember, an equal translation of that is, where is the evidence of his presence? And herein we define a scoffer. We define rebellion. And it's when you say in your mind or outwardly, where is the evidence of his presence? You say, where is the evidence of his presence every time you judge a brother. You say, where is the evidence of his presence every time you think the situation you're in should be different than it is. You say, where is the evidence of his presence every single time that you believe the condition you're in is something obviously you don't like, and so by definition you move in your mind to change it. I can't tell you how dangerous this is spiritually. For you to say, where is the evidence of his presence? That's fine for the world to say. It's fine for Babylon to say. But it's untenable for you to say, where is the evidence of his presence? Now, if this chapter doesn't put the fear of God into you, that you are probably reprobate. You're without hope. And you're incapable of repentance. Now, how many times a day do you say with impunity, by thought, by word, or by deed, where is the evidence of his presence? Because every time you say that, in thought, in word, in deed, you are saying to the Father that the sacrifice of his Son was not enough. And so by definition, every time you leave peace for any reason, every time you get mad for any reason, you are saying, where is the evidence of his presence? The sacrifice of his Son wasn't enough for me. Every time you retain guilt, you are saying, where is the evidence of his presence? Anybody have any response?
I wasn't confessing. I felt like that yesterday morning. It was like, I felt like his peace left me for a while. There's nothing I could do about that. I just felt weird, whatever.
Did you possibly, if at all, ever think to come and talk to me when you're in that position?
Well, it wasn't like the DEF CON 4 or anything.
It doesn't matter if it's DEF CON 1 point, point
well,
one.
Actually, I did.
You remember for 20 some years now, when you've been out of the rest, you haven't come to talk to me?
Yeah.
Why? No. No, what it is that you don't respect me. You don't think I'm a spiritual, have any spiritual insight.
Well, that's not true.
Well, then why wouldn't you come and talk to me?
Well, mostly lately, you're always a wreck.
It doesn't matter. Other people come and talk to me. If I'm a wreck, I tell them I'm a wreck. Say, go see John at your family. Don't do my job for me. I'm serious here. Because if you permit, the only reason you would feel that way is God is trying to knit you together in love with brethren. Because you've been trying to be a success as an isolated self. So it's time for that to change. Does everybody understand that? There is no excuse. The way we live in community, constant exhortation for vulnerability. There is no excuse if you for staying 1 second out of the rest. I promise you, God didn't leave you. If you don't feel as close to God as you used to, who moved? It's your sin that has hidden you from His presence. For us, sin is becoming more and more and more apparent. Because it's more, but more and more and more subtle. Because the subtlety of this process, the subtlety of the temptation, of His temptation, proves it's the cosmetic of the bride. In other words, it's the final test. It's no longer, you know, either deny Christ or you're going to die. That's an easy test. But for you now, the test is, will you permit yourself to be out of the rest for one split second without confessing it, confessing your fault one to another that you might be healed? Anybody have any response?
The knowledge of His presence produces joy. So, to not be in joy is to be saying, if He were here, then this would be. Or if that were true, this would be.
Knowing this first, that there shall come in these last days scoffers, mockers, walking after their own senses, saying, where is the evidence of His presence? Now hear this carefully. For since the fathers fell asleep, died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And they will continue as they were from the beginning of creation until the end. There will never be an evidence of His presence according to the senses. Hear me, please, I beg of you. Otherwise you will be deceived again. You look like you want to say something.
That's just striking based on what I see people doing all the time. Sure, I'm trying to feel God.
It's just carnal.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with reality. In fact, it's the opposite of faith.
Doing things to kind of get a Holy Spirit high.
That's good. You might as well go out and take heroin. I told our friend here one time, he said, you mean to tell me that my going to Bible college didn't do me any good? But did you the same good as, you know, taking cocaine? If you're looking for a spiritual high, the anointing, Christ is clear. He says, if someone says, there is the Christ, there is the anointing, or here is the anointing, don't go. People forget the word Christ means, it means anointed or anointing. So they're going to go see Benny Hinn to get the anointing. There's no word that's strong enough to say how evil that is. Now, that's fine. I mean, the only reason they exist is just so you can see what you do to go get the anointing and how incredibly evil it is.
Struck me that when we were writing up that last word thing, you know, that whole place and they're talking about gain, you know, it just covers a lot of territory.
Look what he did, he just busted the stuff.
Over the weekend I was watching that video clip, again of Suzanne Penn running around and flopping on the ground and stuff. And she's doing this, she's supposedly prophesying to their church, and she's getting more and more emotional, and she's speaking in the power of the Lord and all this. And the stuff she's saying is getting more and more ridiculous. And you can see there's a moment when you watch it where her little brain, she realizes she has just really said something really out there. So it clicks, something clicks, her eyes click, and you know she has to somehow get them to go along with her. So she stops and says, "And I say this under the anointing." And then continues. It's like, oh my God. Invoking something.
All right. Saying, where's the evidence of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And what does ungodly mean? We've studied this 100 times.
You have wrong worship.
Yeah. Wrong worship or wrong thinking. Now they just defined wrong thinking. Because there is no obedience. You're not hearing under. You think that you're saying, where is the evidence of his presence? That is being ungodly. Doesn't matter what you say you are. How come every time I look at Michael, he looks away from me? There, now, see, now he's not. He's looking right at me. I'm proud of you. All right.
It's a new technique.
What?
A new technique.
What's that? All right. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men. As some men would count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he's not talking about the world. He's not talking about those the world out there, isn't it? That all they should come to repentance. He's talking about you and I. He's not willing that any of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So his long suffering is accounted to us and by us as salvation. It's an incredible statement. Because it shows that your disobedience is what's keeping the world alive. It's the same way as Moses condemned the world by his obedience. So your disobedience is keeping time going. And you've got to see this that personal. Remember I've told you before, you must sometime come to the place where you would be faithful to the doctrine whether or not anyone else in the universe was. So in no way are you eating the flesh of somebody else? Not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come. Now I'm getting old and I'm getting pretty feeble. But I still know. And I can't tell you how I know it. I've known it since the day I was a believer. That the end, I would see the end. I would see the time in which there is no time. Because I saw it. He didn't give me that blessing or privilege of seeing it for no purpose. And that's what this next few verses are about. This time in which, in Revelation 10, it says, when the mystery of God, or in some translations, when the mystery of the bride is completed, time shall be no more. And this is what the description is about. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now, remember, conversation means your walk, your manner of life, and godliness means your thinking. Right? So you're never deceived, you never leave the this mystery, you're never seduced by the evil one, because you know his subtlety. You never, remember the Lord's Prayer, there's nothing that will allow you to deliver us from temptation. In other words, nothing will lead us not into temptation. Nothing will lead you inward. Nothing. Be led inward means that you will never again be the subject of your sentence. Anybody hear me? It's really boring. If you think being the subject of your sentence is boring to some idiot like me, can you imagine how you being the subject of your sentence is boring to God? I mean, can you conceive of it? What more could he have done? And the moment you become the subject of your sentence, you're feeding the Antichrist. You're breathing life into the mystery of evil, the son of perdition. Heaven shall melt, shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven, a new earth, or a new land wherein dwelleth righteousness. The new land is the new Jerusalem, the promised land. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. The garment must have not be spotted by the flesh. I have not been spotted by the flesh. How is the garment spotted by the flesh? The garment is his righteousness. It's spotted by the flesh the moment you become the subject of your sentence. It doesn't matter whether you become the subject of your sentence internally or externally. God knows. And anybody with an ounce of discernment know also. Somebody must have a response.
If you're out of pieces,
you got spots.
Jump back in. You can always do that.
So will you be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless? You're only blameless because he is blameless. Therefore, you're only blameless if he is your life. You're still thinking about he is your life, or you're still studying about he is your life, then he's not your life. cost you everything for him to be your light. There's no way around it. Found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, is written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware that you also, being led away with the error of the wicked one, and it's the translation here, it's the error of the wicked one. The error of the wicked one is you. The error of the Antichrist is you. The error of the son of perdition is you. Therefore, if he give you any breath, you've fallen into the error of the wicked one. Being led away with the error of the wicked ones, fall away from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever.
Struck me over the years about when you said that you think you'll be alive at the end of time, and I don't know, it comes to me at odd times when I think about it.
Well, I wouldn't place that much importance on it, because Paul thought he'd be alive at the end of time. James thought he'd be alive at the end of time. John thought he would be alive at the end of time.
But all men died at the same time, so...
Well, I know, but you know what I mean. I'm talking about the end of time.
All men, the view of somebody else.
The end of time.
Well, all men die at the same time.
No, I know that. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Time shall be no more. The mystery of God is completed there. Again, it's like there are certain basic tenets of the faith. Everything else is sort of reflects that minion or that satyr's office in the body. And it's all, I don't know how to say this, I'm not sure I've thought this through, but it's like the basic tenets of the faith are like the bones of the body. And then the, how we see it and how the mystery is manifest in us and in us as a body is what we must be faithful to. We must be faithful to the basic tenets also. But we can't expect somebody else to do what we do. I don't care whether anybody else celebrates the feast, or I don't care whether anybody else understands the cross like we do, or I don't care if anybody else ever... I can still fellowship and have communion with them. But I know what we're called to do. And be. As long as I'm alive, that's what we'll do. Amen? All right. Anybody else have any response?
Thank God for the fear of God allows us to see in the scriptures. The only thing that keeps us out of ourselves.
And the fear of God becomes, it's hard to explain, but even the fear of God
becomes
joy. Joy.
This speaks to me of a positional thing. In Christ, you read about the end of time, and it's not a fearful thing. If you're in self, with things to do and all that, it's very fearful.
Places to be, things to do. Some somebody go get that stuff for me pretty soon? Let me find out when that's open.
Nine.
I didn't realize how badly that. All right, take a big guy.